Hey, 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 and welcome to episode 121 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box, and we have Ashley.
It's a me.
So on this podcast, we talk about your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot topics, and everything in between. If you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. So let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started. All right, let's do some hot topics. Are you ready, Ashley?
I am on fire.
Oh, girl. Anyway, on the 13th of March, Minhyuk from Monster X personally announced that the 4th of April, he will be enlisting into the military. He posted a handwritten letter on the group's fan cafe, informing their followers that he would enlist. So that is happening. It's enlistment time. On the 15th of March, there was this whole speculation with GQ magazine as they released an article about TXT, and the TXT fandom wasn't really feeling what was written in this article. They felt a bit disappointed and outraged, and finding some parts of it offensive, actually. I think there was a hashtag that went, I don't know if it went viral, but there was a hashtag where it was like, hashtag GQ apologize to TXT and GQ respect TXT. GQ did say that they were revising the article, and TXT fans were saying that won't be enough and they want a formal apology. So I don't know if they're going to get that apology, but according to like reports that I've read online, there was one part where they refer to Kai as a happer, as the happer of the group. And it's just like, we don't use those terms. And what's that got to do anything? Anyway, and then also another thing was like the author referred to fans, the fandom activity as a dark art, as if it was referring to the subculture fandoms as some sort of like devil worship or witchery, which again, there's this whole notion of, I don't know what it is, but whenever you say you're a fan of K-pop or whatever, everyone's like, oh, they're crazy. And I'm just like, you don't do this to sports fans. You don't do this to people that are fans of other artists. So obviously that rubbed in the wrong way. And then, of course, there's the typical, you know, TXT are the next BTS, rather than just focusing on how TXT are TXT.
Yeah.
So there's all this back and forth. I know they did do some edits. I don't know if our fans are particularly happy. But one thing that always crossed my mind when you have big publications, like Western publications covering a group, they never outsource to journalists that actually have an interest in K-pop or have written about artists before. Like, they always give it to some random person that are not a part of it, and it's just, of course, they're not gonna fully grasp or fully get what's going on because it's alien to them.
Yeah, it's tiring. Just get them, like, I know you want easy money, etc. But you're a journalist literally at GQ, like, come on. Do your research at least, or get someone who knows. And, like, I don't know, ask them, like, double check stuff.
Exactly. With them.
It's so easy.
It's not that hard.
yeah, it really isn't.
Because the thing is, as well, even when I was trying to do my whole K-pop journalism thing, it didn't last long because I don't really care to write about stuff. But, like, even trying to, like, pitch articles or whatever, and they just don't want to give it to you. Like, they don't want you to write about it. And even, for example, I know someone called Tasha, and she's very known to write. She writes content about a mix of artists, not just K-pop, but K-pop is her bag as well. And the amount of times I've seen her try to pitch things, and even now as K-pop is, you know, popular, they'd be like, no, or, you know, they'll give the piece to someone else that doesn't know anything about K-pop, and it's just, why? She's right there. Like, I don't... I don't get it.
Just that they're afraid, I don't know, of, like, something that they don't understand, but they're not willing to open up to people who do understand. or they're able to want something easy where they're like, oh, it's this weird thing, which is so old. It's so done.
It's so,
like,
old. It's overdone.
It's just different. It's just different. In many cases, it's similar to Western stuff. Like, they're the ones who are making it seem like a whole weird, different thing. Like, it's so... Well, hopefully they get their apology.
Yeah, and hopefully this is not... Thing. This is the... I know this won't be the last, but, you know, a girl can wish, innit?
Yeah.
According to an exclusive report from Star News, SM Entertainment's Aespa will be making their comeback in early May. The group was actually supposed to make their comeback in February, but it was delayed due to the whole... SM Kakao hype situation, which I refuse. I'm not doing it.
Actually,
I'm not doing it. I've clocked out. I don't know if you heard that episode. I think it was like me and Shay, where I kind of broke down some of it, and then literally,
there was so much.
Our brain was fried, and that was the top of the episode. So imagine how that episode ended, and I just vowed to myself, I'm never doing that again. So. Yeah.
Finally, they just didn't acquire them, and now they're like, actually, we didn't want to acquire SM.
So
like,
there.
We totally didn't make a whole Twitter account.
Right.
Come on. You're grown adults. Just admit it. You failed. Come on.
So messy. So I don't know. It was hard. Anyway, this exclusive report has not been confirmed by SM yet, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Another comeback is Le Sserafim. They're meant to come back in the 1st of May, but again, I don't think anything has been confirmed as of yet, or as of this recording, should I say. And last but not least, news about NMIX ex-member Jennie. So on the 18th of March, I was going to say May, but I can't tell into the future. 18th of March, Jennie opened her own personal Instagram account, which obviously made fans excited. Then rumors started to fly around that Jennie may be joining the Black Label's agency and joining a girl group that they're meant to be debuting soon. So the Black Label is under YG, for those who are like, what's that? Who cares? It's like a sub-label of YG Entertainment. But yeah, there was rumors that she is meant to be a part of this girl group because apparently the agency's international marketing director had followed Jennie on Instagram, which then, you know, that's when all the conspiracy theories basically happened. On the 20th of March, a source from the Black Label denied the rumor, commenting it's not true that Jennie is signing an exclusive contract with the Black Label. So... sorry, guys, that's not happening. And if it's the same person that I think it is that followed Jennie, I know this person, and they have worked with a lot of artists that are not signed to YG or the Black Label. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it may mean she may... debut in some sort of capacity, maybe, but again, that's still not guaranteed. So yeah. But anyways, that is hot topics. If there's any stories you want us to comment on, or if you want to comment on any stories, make sure you hit us up on socials at Hallyu Atchu. Okay, moving on to our next segment called Say What, where you send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea. You can send it all to howut@gmail.com. That's howut@gmail.com. Or you can submit an anonymous form at kpopbox.co.uk/howutatchu. So are you ready to get into these unpopular opinions?
I am so ready.
All right. So the first one says, As well as banners, I personally wouldn't be mad if cell phones were banned from concerts. I think the energy and interactions between fans and idols would be amazing. What are your thoughts, feelings, and opinions?
Yeah, honestly, I think that's kind of a good idea.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun because then you don't have to worry as well about documenting it so much, because I hate that kind of headspace that I get into when I go to concerts and I'm like, wait, what if I just forget this memory forever? Yeah. Even though there's going to be other people recording the concert. And then so I'm always like, oh, well, should I record this bit? Should I record that bit? When I'm actually not really being there. Yeah. So I think that'd be really cool, a really fun time, yeah, to just kind of relax and have that experience taken away from me. Yeah, so I don't have to worry about that at all and just be there and to experience it. I think on one side, I would want at least one concert to be recorded, at least those concerts to be recorded, like, I don't know, pro shot professionally, just so that we do have like a recording of it. Because, yeah, I mean, they work so hard. It's such a shame when there are concerts that where there's footage that aren't released. Like, SM, release your Jonghyun ASAP. Oh my God. They've recorded all of them and they just haven't released them. It's so annoying. But I think, without phones, that would be fun. That would just be fun. I wouldn't have to worry. Just chilling out.
Yeah, because if you think about it as well, like, even when, you know, you go to the theatre, you don't think, oh my gosh, I need to film this.
Yeah.
Like, you just sit there and you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because I think even, I don't know what year this was, but it was recent. I think Silk Sonic had like a few shows in America and they basically told everyone, yeah, you can't film. Mm-hmm. They had to like put their phones in these kind of like sealed things that covered their cameras and stuff. And, you know, he was there to enjoy the show. I know certain comedy shows do that as well because obviously, you know, comedians go around with the same set. So, of course, they don't want things to leak online. But yeah, even if they did it in a sense of, for example, you know how, because I've done like press for concerts as well. Usually if you're taking pictures or whatever, you're only allowed to take footage or whatever for the first three songs. But then after that, you got to put it away. So even if it was like, okay, for the encore, everyone can take their phones out. Or
They do that for shows now as well, some theatre shows.
Yeah, so if it was like something like that, because yeah, as you said, I feel like I do it sometimes as well. I've tried to get out the habit of it where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need to record this. I need to remember this. But then at the same time, I have like, what, 20,000 videos on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I don't look at them. I don't look at half of them at least.
Yeah.
They might be the odd one I may go back to or the odd picture. And usually the reason why is because you know how sometimes your phone does, oh, you did this 2 years ago, or you did this last month, like, oh yeah. And you go, oh, that was nice. But other than that, I don't, oh, it's Tuesday, let's go and review my shiny footage from when I was in Korea in 2016. And it's like, I don't, because the thing is, actually, I have footage of shiny on my phone.
Your phone?
Yeah, that I...
It's still on your phone?
It's still... Listen, I'm the queen of receipts.
Can you send that to me?
I'll find it, yeah.
Yay!
So, it's all the way at the top because obviously that was years ago. But do you know what I mean? Like, I don't go back. I'm like, oh, it's usually if it pops up. Because I obviously took someone's Snapchat and then, you know, Snapchat's like, you did this 7 years ago. And you're like, oh, that was cool. But yeah, I agree. And with banners, I feel like banners should just be banned. I'm sorry. I don't think anyone should have banners because now you're just obstructing the view.
Yeah. I saw some in Japan, at least, again, with shiny concerts, because that's the ones I see the most often online. But I know in Japan, you have to hold them like underneath your chin, I think. Mm. And then, although they hand out like the same banners. I think I don't know if it's like fan-made, but they've done it like every single time that they've been there. Like in all the videos, they always like hand them out and then they have like a little message where if all of them turn them around, then it like spells it out really big in the crowd, which is really cool, like a message to shiny, which I know that they just like hold it under their chin. They're not allowed to raise it up. So I don't know if like those rules would be really helpful, but again, it's a lot harder, of course, to manage a big concert.
But
banners are especially in like for you know, American and British big shows.
It's, yeah.
I remember, I think the only one I remember was when I went to see One Direction and they had like massive signs and I was like, I can't see shit. Like, get that sign. What were they going to do? Just like see the sign? Like,
they're trying to have like a Your Name situation.
Mm,
and yeah. It's like, it's not, put it down. You need to leave. Yeah. Like, I can't see.
Genuinely.
And I also think, I guess with Japanese concerts, I get the impression that everything is like very meticulously organized.
Yeah.
So they're probably like, okay, we're only gonna use this banner for, oh, if they sing this particular song because it has a certain message on it. Yeah. And then that's it. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like since the pandemic, just in general, I only could speak about concerts in the UK and maybe some clips that I've seen that's in the US, but the concert etiquette is not I feel like it's fading. It's not a thing. I think back in the day, I feel like of course you're going to have that, the minority that are just annoying and they don't care. But you still had the majority that actually thought, oh, let me be aware of my surroundings and make sure I'm not causing too much of a nuisance and make sure that, you know, people around me are also enjoying the show as much as I'm enjoying the show. Whereas I get the vibe now, there are a lot of people that are like, well, I paid my $200, so if I want to scream and if I want to wave my 6-foot banner, I'm going to do it because I paid $200. And it's like, well, yeah, everyone around you's paid $200. Like, you know.
So there is that kind of, there's been like 2 years of people who are just growing into that kind of concert age, but they weren't able to go to concerts, so maybe they're not like as experienced with it. But yeah. Again, they don't really make it that clear in concerts. Like, I feel like with going to the theatre, it's really clear. People have signs saying, like, put away your phones. They have an announcement before the show. Of things like that. I feel like concerts could also just do that as well. Because, concerts don't really say anything. They just kind of
It's like, stop. Do what you want, basically. But, we agree with this. I think, you know, cell phones should be banned or it should be...
Maybe they could get a free sticker to put on their phones because that would be a cabaret. You can get a free sticker to cover your phone so they don't reveal the secret of the show.
Because I know, like,
you get to keep the sticker.
Back to the Bruno Mars thing, Silk Sonic thing.
Mm.
It was like a pouch thing that they had to put your phones in, and then that was kind of, you know, the magnetic tags that you put on clothes, right?
Yes.
So it's like that kind of magnetic pin that kind of closed it, so you could still scroll and start like use your phone through the pouch, but obviously the way that the pouch is designed, it's covering the front and the back camera kind of thing, so you can still use your phone and be like, oh, Ashley, where are you? I'm in the pit. Where are you?
Oh, that's so handy.
So you could still use your phone, but it was just in this thing, and then of course when you leave they kind of like, you know, they take out the pouch, so even something like that. But I don't know how they would... I feel like it may work for smaller venues, maybe, but I don't know how they would do that on like on a stadium level.
Yeah.
And I know people will try and be smart and be like, well, I'm going to bring two phones.
People
and
always trying to do that.
So...
I'm never not allowed a phone, my gosh.
Yeah, but we could dream. I think that would be the best, though.
Mm. Yeah, it would be so nice.
Moving on to our next opinion. This person says... BTS truly paved the way. They got me into K-pop, and once people are over them, they will stan other groups. So aren't BTS do... Sorry. So aren't BTS... so aren't BTS doing less popular groups a favour? What an opinion.
I feel like... everyone gets into K-pop in different ways, and that's okay. I feel the whole paved the way, you can apply that to a lot of people. If it's, you know, if BTS paved the way for your journey, I think that's fine, but I think it's a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
It's not as black and white as just one person. Because, yeah, there's so many throughout the history of, you know, South Korea, of K-pop, There's just been so many different achievements that have been made in order for different groups to get to the places that they are now. It's so different. It's also different, you know, depending on what K-pop you like, because, you know, there's different groups for different genres. I feel like you can't just say it's just one group. Of course, they've done so much.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can't discount that. Biggest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think to say that the entirety of K-pop rests on their shoulders is big, not only for them, it's also, you know, not really true. Because you can't predict how anyone is getting into it. You know, some people could have gotten into it before BTS existed. Or from just different, or just have not interacted with them at all, like maybe heard some songs, but then, like, I don't know, found different people, which is how I got into it.
it's kind of hard because nothing is successful by itself. Everything is a chain reaction of events, and that's with anything and anyone. And again, this is not discrediting, you know, BTS success and what they have done, you know, with the genre. I don't know, just the last bit just cracks me up. Like, no, okay, it's yes or no, because again, you know, BTS may lead other people to other groups, but that you could say that with any group, to be honest. I think even before I got into K-pop, I think I might have seen or heard the odd song or whatever. Yeah. And it wasn't until I heard a certain song that I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I didn't even stick to that group or that artist. I then jumped onto another group that I felt like resonated with me more. So I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like that could, you know, I think it's that could apply to any group. Like, you could, you know, get into K-pop through any group and then maybe not be with that group anymore, but have still been like, oh, that was the group that I got into it with. But I think just to say, you know, blanket, it was BTS for everyone, I don't think.
No. It's not. And it's giving main character energy, like, because it happened to me this way, it's surely happened to everyone else this way. It's like, no. And if you really think about it,
yeah,
I feel like most people probably heard, or K-pop first popped into their radar was probably Psy, probably Gangnam Style. So, and again, you could still say Psy, Psy's truly paved the way. Like, just generally. But again, like I said, you can swap out BTS with anything, you know?
Yeah, and it depends on where you are as well. Because, like, you know, I feel like there's a huge influence, you know, in, again, with Japan. Like wasn't it? BoA, like, brought K-pop there and, I don't know, saved South Korea's economy.
It's true.
It's so wild. I love that story. It's so crazy. But it's so, like, you know, there's absolutely different leeways from where you are, from the popularity of the music that you are. You know, like, I'm sure it's different in the US and the UK and, you know, South Korea, or like South America. There's loads of different places where it's kind of, I don't know, a big niche for a certain group and a different niche for a different one. So, but just to say that it's just BTS, I think just keep an open mind.
Yeah,
because there's so many groups, and you know, I think BTS wants people to know about other groups as well.
Yeah,
I would think, because they're also mates with half the people that people always compare them to.
I feel like there's one thing that you can't say with BTS. They have always shown respect to the people before them, people after them. It's usually the weird percentage of their, I won't even call them fans at this point, because that's not very fan-like behavior to try and use BTS as a weapon against everyone else. But it's always that small percent that's kind of have this, like, bully mentality, like, and it's just like, that's not what it's about. And it's never been about that way. And I think you could kind of see that's why, I guess, the change in, like, third gen and fourth gen in terms of like if you see the end of like award shows, at the end of like Virgin shows, everyone's interacting.
Yeah.
They're having fun. And now fourth gen, again, it's the mixture of the whole pandemic, but also I feel like because, you know, the toxic percentage has risen and they're loud, it's kind of like, I'm actually scared to smile at Ashley because now they're going to say Ashley and Shanice are dating. And no, I just want to be their friend, but I can't because... You know, we're in different groups and that means we can't be friends and we're dating and just...
People talk about so... Well, I know maybe like the idols and the companies see so much more of the conversations that fans have now that you can just post online instead of, you know, just being, I don't know, magazines or the fan clubs. But like now it's just like so easy accessible for them. And like, I don't know if it's the companies that put the pressure on the artists, probably all the artists themselves being worried because they're, a lot of them are quite young and they can see everything as well most of the time. That kind of pressure. And it's just, most of the time, most of the groups are amicable and respectful to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should be as well to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kumbaya, guys. Kumbaya. And leave Bora alone. I'm sorry. I know, I know we're going off tangent, but the way people treat Bora, like she, and even if she was 765, who cares? Yeah. But that's how they treat her. I don't think people realize how young Boa is. You know, Boa's younger than Beyonce.
Yeah. It's shocking. Like, people... I mean, the whole... I joke about the phrase hag, but people really use that in, like...
Yeah. Once you pass 25, you're a hag.
Baby, you're going to be a hag. Okay? Your faves are going to be hags. Like...
So you're basically bullying me because I'm healthy and I'm still living. So you don't want to grow up to be 25? I'm confused. why is that insult? Yeah, and you're 30. Okay.
Oh shit. Oh damn.
I guess we should log off then.
Fuck. Not allowed to interact with anything or anyone else.
It's so weird. But anyway. Yeah, so with this opinion, no, we disagree. We just think everyone should be nicer. Listen to who you want to listen to. Who cares? And whoever introduced you into K-pop, of course, that group of artists is always going to be dear to your heart, and that's absolutely fine. Yeah. Doesn't mean that particular group is better than something else or whatever, someone else. Who cares?
Yeah.
Wah.
Enjoy the music.
Enjoy the music. Just get up and dance. And the last opinion is, I think noise music should be left to the boy groups. K-pop girl groups are better with R&B/pop. XG and NewJeans are great examples. Thoughts, feelings?
I disagree. just straight up, because it's just a genre. Mm-hmm. It's literally just a genre. And I think noise music in K-pop is still pretty new. Off the top of my head, I can just name two boy groups that do it kind of consistently. I'm thinking like NCT and Stray.
What, noise?
Noise music, I'd say. Although I don't know, there's, I think it's more the companies pushing it on them. As for girl groups, I don't think enough of them have done it to say, oh, one's better than the other. But again, they're genres. They're just genres. Yeah. Like, it's their voices and it's them dancing to it. And I don't think, it is a genre. And I think saying girl groups are better with R&B and pop, which are, I don't know, I guess gentler sounding genres, I think is just a bit of a stereotype that girls are better at the gentler stuff. Because for me, it depends on the song.
It really does depend on the song. Yeah.
Yeah, because like what girl groups really do, like that are big, have done noise music. Like I'm thinking NMIX, and that's it. Really, of big groups. that I know of. If there are smaller groups, then feel free to suggest. But like of big kind of the mainstream companies or the ones that are getting big, I can't think of many that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I just.
But then it's like, how do you categorize noise music as well? Because that's so broad. Because when I think of noise music as well, I think of it on a spectrum, because sometimes I think of, you know, people may argue, if you go back to like shiny ring, ring ding dong, you could say that's noise.
Yeah.
I think of FX Electric Shock, you could say that's noise. But then obviously you have noise that is capital letters, where you have like your NCT sticker, or you have like your Stray Kids, or do you know what I mean? So again,
when did that noise genre even become a thing? Because I remember only hearing that from K-pop, just noise.
This is my interpretation. At one point I was going to do a video on it. I don't know if I will ever do it. Maybe I might, maybe I won't. I personally think it comes from, so you know, like I want to say 2014, that era where everything was like featuring Skrillex, featuring what's the other, like Major Lazer, featuring Diplo, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the influence came from that. I really think the pioneers that really kind of, in terms of K-pop, that really started to like play with noise, I'm thinking like Monster X, like early Monster X. You could say that, especially their day, what's that? Their debut, I can't remember what their debut song is, but you could say that was a bit noisy. And I just think slowly it was like infused to other songs. Like other songs may have a more poppy R&B take on it, but they had noise influences. And then over the years, they've just kind of like, let's increase the noise kind of thing. So that's, and then it is what it is today kind of thing. But again, as I said, you could say it's happened before then, because as I said, you have your Shinies, you have your FX that were, those two were very experimental groups.
Yeah.
So I just feel like over time, the definition of noise has changed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like every genre is kind of like evolved and stuff. Rap today doesn't sound like rap from 10 years ago. So it's still considered rap. So yeah, just that's just my idea, philosophy. But yeah, I, as you said, I don't think one gender of group does certain songs better. I think it's down to taste. Music is very subjective. It's down to taste. Maybe it's, you know, you expect the girl groups to do songs that are softer and femininity and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like they don't have to do that.
Yeah, it's not the one thing that they can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess we disagree with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we move on, there was this, like, am I the arsehole K-pop dilemma thing that was going around. And I saved it and I never read it because I was going to do it on here. And then could see, like, what our take is. So, I guess this is part of our dilemma section, but it's been stolen, so it was on Reddit. So this person says, am I the asshole for asking my fiance to remove her K-pop tattoo?
I heard this online. Keep going.
Okay, all right, so I am 32 male, I am engaged to Laura, 27 male, and Laura has a tattoo that I have an issue with. When she was 18, 19-ish, why did he do this? Sorry. She got a tramp stamp tattoo of a mascot of her favorite K-pop group that use bunny rabbits that represent her. I think I know what group this is. Anyway. The one she has wears a red mask / bandana, since that's the one that represents her favorite member of the group. I think I do know what group this is. I think this is BAP. You know how I feel about BAP. Anyway, ever since the first time I've seen this tattoo and she explained the meaning, I've sort of had an issue with it for two reasons. That sounds like a you issue. One, the tattoo is in representation of another man. Oh, grow up! I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I keep interjecting. Okay.
No, this is a live reaction. You
okay.
Love it.
Yeah, sorry. One of the tattoos is a representation of another man. And to me, it feels like she has branded herself for that man. Oh, sorry. And two, I view K-pop as a childish thing and expect tweens to be into it, like Justin Bieber or One Direction, but it makes it happy, so I usually keep my feelings about K-pop to myself. Earlier this week, we were preparing to go out to eat, and while she was changing, I caught a glimpse of it. I asked her if she ever planned to get it removed, and she said no. I then told her how I feel about it, since we are very close to be husband and wife. I even suggested other tattoo ideas that could be based around us and offered to get it with her. Laura then called me stupid for thinking that way because everyone gets tattoos of singers and bands and it's a 1 in a million chance of her meeting that member and being with him. I then told her that her tattoo still screams, I've branded myself for a man and people get tattoos of real musicians. I think it's meant to be fads, but it says not fades. I want to say fads. I told her I expected it to be gone by the wedding day. Excuse me?
You're going to be gone by the wedding day, mate.
Right? How about we remove you? Laura then called me an asshole and stormed out the room. She even refused to go to dinner with me. Since then, she doesn't talk or is short to me and has even resorted to sleeping in her office. I'm the one to admit when I'm wrong, but in this situation I don't think I am, and that my reasons are understandable, and I think many other married men will see where I'm coming from. Am I the asshole? Excuse me? First of all, she had this tattoo before you, and even if she got this tattoo during your relationship, it's her body, she can do what she wants. If this is an issue for you, sir, you need to leave, because how dare you? haven't you seen that there's like this video, I don't know, it's like
it
from
so familiar.
I don't know, it's like from some like community meeting about something, right? And this guy's on the mic, and then I think someone heckles in the crowd, like, oh, I think it's like this Mexican guy that's speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, and then I think someone must have heckled the guy, like, oh, go back to your country, whatever, and then the whole audience just kind of gasps, and then this woman's like, you need to leave.
Good on them.
Yeah,
that's right, you're correct.
But first of all, oh, my brain, oh, my days. The fact, oh, you're branding yourself with another man. First of all, it's a tattoo of a bunny.
Goddamn. Chill.
Calm down. I have no words for this, you know.
It's so fun hearing you react to this, because it was like my reaction. I saw it on TikTok and it was literally my reaction. I was jumping onto that comment section just to hope that everyone agreed with me. And they did. They were like, she's got a relic, like, she's keeping that
and as you know, she said those are people get tattoos of like their favorite group or like their band's logo or whatever.
Yeah. It literally is, it's just fucking, who cares?
Who cares? And from my understanding, this is on her back.
Yeah.
So half the time it's covered anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like it's on her forehead. And even if it was on her forehead, you met her like that. So deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I can't stand men sometimes.
But if he was just like, yeah, it's childish. It's like a One Direction. Justin Bieber.
And even if she did have a One Direction or Justin Bieber, this is what I'm saying. When it comes to pop or K-pop, especially if you're a woman and you're passionate about it, it's childish. Yep. Anything women are passionate about is childish.
Yeah. And yet, those people who always get the mostly female fan bases, they get success. They are extremely successful, and it's a very big market, one of the best markets to go into, which is why kind of boy bands are used to be, you know, a big thing both in the in like UK, US, in the Western music industry, mm-hmm. and in K-pop. Before I'm thinking like when Girls' Generation kind of turned it around, and now it's more of a I'd say people are more more girl group thing. But again, it's that mm-hmm. kind of target of boy groups target to women, whereas girl groups target to everyone. But then weirdly, like the boy group ones are kind of more loyal. It's a big fan base. Of course, that's a generalization because I feel like it's changed a lot since then. But like it is such, you know, it's a huge thing, you know, like female fan bases push the YA trend, you know, with things like Twilight mm-hmm. and things like The Hunger Games and like Harry Potter as well. Like when those things were really big, it was like a hugely female fan bases. And even though, like, people like were so fucking rude to them, mm-hmm. but they, you know, people reaped their success. They still are reaping their success, even though some of those things I do not agree with anymore. but like, it is a huge one, and yet they diss them. And it's just exhausting. Like, how can you just, it's so easy to be open to just people's interests as long as they're exactly. not hurting you. Like, if they're happy, then you should be happy because they're, you know, your spouse, your loved one. Hopefully not anymore. Spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I hope she runs.
This is ridiculous.
For the hills, because branded by another man.
By another man. That screams insecurity, sir. That screams you need to go heel. I don't know what's
some people.
Laura, I feel for you, girl.
Yeah, run.
Run, don't sign no papers, don't walk down that aisle, save your money mm-hmm. and go. The way he's acting is like, oh, because I have this tattoo, you need to have this tattoo too, because it will mean so much to me. And it's like, okay, I can understand, but he's making... Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Anyways,
let's move on.
Fun, let's get going.
But yes, that was Say What. If you want to send any unpopular opinions, dilemmas, stories, hot tea, updates from dilemmas, I'd really love some updates. There's one update I'm really waiting for. I think I've said this so many times about, I can't remember it properly, but they was going to do like some sort of intervention for this girl's cousin or friend or something. She kind of like faked her life and said she's going out with this idol or whatever, and I don't know, she was like stealing money to buy stuff, and I think it was something like along the lines of she was faking that she was like half Korean, but she's like a full British girl, like her lineage is strong in this country, like like she's like the epitome of a British rose kind of thing. So it's like, there's no way there's any sort of Asian in her. There's not even any Spanish in her, let alone Asia. And I think it was like her cousin sent it, and they was meant to have like this whole intervention, and I don't know. But I don't know how the intervention went, how she took it, what happened next. I'm really intrigued. I can't even remember it properly, but yeah, that's what I remember. But yeah, any updates as well, do send them over. But wrapping up with this episode, it's time to talk about what is on our radar. Okay. So Ashley, what's on your radar?
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody's surprised, but it's shiny, babe.
No way.
I know. Oh my God, me with a shiny update. I was going to say this earlier, actually, but I believe, again, it hasn't had, I know, there's been like semi-announcements and like those, you know, those SM like early schedules of the year, but again, those can change. But I believe that shiny is also making their comeback in May.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that, I think it was like yesterday or something, on you released a vlog where he was trying to buy his own concert tickets, which was hilarious because he failed twice. B, he was like, oh yeah, I'm rehearsing for this, for his album, for the concert, and for the shiny concert. So they are going to have a concert. There's rumors to be either a Korea or a Japan concert or a world concert.
Does the world include us though? That's what we need to know.
Yeah, that's what I would very much like to know too. As well, please, I beg of you, just go on, don't be shy. Go to London.
Please. Yeah, don't be shy.
Please.
Come on over.
Come on over. But yeah, speaking of on you, here's, I mean, this is kind of 3 weeks ago, but I am still listening to it. His first full album, Circle, came out 3 weeks ago, and it is so good. So, and I'm not just saying this as a SHINee fan, although I feel like I do say this about every single SHINee album. It's not my fault that they're just so good. but it is so good. It's a really good kind of everybody pleasing album. It's a very chill, relaxed album. The title track is very different. It's got a bit of piano. It's got a gospel choir. It's just a great time, and it's a really fun little full album. 10 whole songs in it, baby. So I highly recommend. I forget these single albums. They make me want to. How can you just release one song? That's a good time if you want some really nice, like, walking in the rain kind of music. That's the album that I would highly recommend. Apart from that, I don't think I have anything else on the radar. Watch out for, oh, Taemin's back in like 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, baby. It's like he's been going away for ages.
Over 2 years, I think, because he had to extend it. But he's coming. Yeah, he should have picked like Easter to come back, just to fully.
I'm so done. No. No.
Every time. Oh no, I think he could come into the bit.
No.
But anyway, that's on my radar.
On my radar, I don't really feel like I have anything. I think the only thing I would say is I've started watching The Glory Part 2 because they released the second part of the series.
Yeah.
You know, I love a good revenge plot, so I just want to see my girl get her revenge. But there's some twists and turns, honey. It's not going as smoothly as it once was, but you know, I was expecting it to happen because she was just so open about, yeah, I'm coming for you. So like, I mean, if you hear anyone's coming for you, you're gonna sit up straight, you're gonna look around, you're gonna try and, okay, you're coming for me, I'm gonna come for you. So I mean, they did bully you in school, so you know, it's not really out of their character to try and mess up your life again. But yeah, that's on Netflix if anyone's interested. But yeah, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening to How You At You, and remember, if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You, and wherever you're listening to us, make sure you leave a comment and rate us and all that good stuff. Tell a friend, honey. I've been Shanice from K-Pop Box. You can follow me at K-Pop Box _. And Ashley?
And I've been Ashley. You can follow me at Ashley in Shade at any socials. Anywhere you want.
Yes. Oh, before we go, I really enjoyed your TikTok the other day. The one,
the Rover one.
Yeah, the one, the Uber Eats one with Kai, just Kai dancing to Rover. Really, really enjoyable.
That song has been stuck in my head. Same. Oh my god. Good job, Kai.
Same. Christ. Well done, Kai. But yes, we're supposed to be ended this. until next.
Tell me that. You can tell me that anytime.
I know, but I just feel like the people needed to know. So if you, you know, you follow.
My TikTok has been going towards the K-pop.
So start watching Ashley.
but don't
just expect K-pop, okay? They are multifaceted, okay?
Acting stuff as well.
Acting, dancing.
Drama.
Drama.
Oh, I don't post any dancing on there. That's too scary.
But yes, until next time, we will holla at you. Bye.